obsessed.
It's recording.
We're live.
Oh, except it's not live.
We're live today.
It's very much recorded, and then to us it's live, but that's because it's our life.
Well, exactly. I'm alive today. That's a miracle in itself.
It's always a miracle.
Yeah, actually, I'm trying to think what the hell I've done for the last week.
I have only watched Buffy.
It's an excellent pastime, though.
Anything else, I literally could not tell you.
All right, I'm going to think really hard.
Oh, I did do something. Hold on. I'm Ash.
I'm Laura.
There we go. I went to the Rain Room yesterday.
I saw that on your story.
Yeah. Victoria tagged me, and I was like, I don't think I posted anything. It was weird.
Okay.
It was like, it was good. It was expensive for how long you're actually like in there and what the thing actually is. It was fun. A lot of people were like that were in there were like sort of mystified by it,
right? Because it's rain and it's inside.
Yeah, but then I'm just looking up at the sensors when they turn off,
right?
And I'm just like watching my sensor circle, and I was like, it's actually quite a large radius. And then this other lady's like, magic, and I was like, no, science, but all right.
So you were just, that whole like childlike wonder was just shut down for you that day.
It was pretty cool to like walk in and there'd just be like thundering, like really loud rain in this tiny room. And then walking around, like you do get a little bit wet.
Okay.
But like walking around, I was just mesmerized by like looking up and seeing how good the sensors were when I shifted.
So you went there to test it?
Yes, apparently.
Okay.
I didn't know that when I walked in, but yes.
Wow, okay.
But it was fun. It was really cool. It was a cool experience.
Okay, that's good.
We've done it now, so.
Yeah, you can take it off the list and then not do it again.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like $25 each and you're in there for like 10 to 15 minutes, so.
That's not great.
No, it's a lot, but it's a tourist thing, whatever.
Something to do.
Yeah.
When you're bored and we're all allowed out now, like, why not?
Yeah. And then we went and had dinner in St. Kilda.
Mm-hmm.
And we figured out that there's a pattern. One really fucking weird person will walk past, and then one dog will walk past. And then another weird person, and then a dog. So it kind of evens itself out.
Yeah, that sounds like St. Kilda.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh my gosh.
But that was about it.
What have I done this week? I read my book.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have not picked up a book in a while.
I mean, it's a textbook, so it's technically studying, but it's really interesting.
You haven't done that either. Classes start today. Fuck.
Oopsies.
Oop.
Oh,
I forgot. Thanks.
Uh-oh.
That means I have to study after this. Fuck.
Oh, no.
What have you done?
Oh, and you had to write your story all day today as well.
It's not even long, and it took me forever.
I feel you on that. My one took... Okay, it took me a day, but it took me 3 days to get to it.
Oh my god, so so we did this thing where we usually record on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Today's Monday.
Yeah.
Because on Saturday, I think I shifted the time a little bit earlier because of the Rain Room thing.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, Laura posts on her story and something about, I don't even remember, but something about procrastinating.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are we like this? I'm doing it too. And then it was just a very short conversation. We were like, let's do Monday morning.
Yeah.
And then halfway through that day,
yeah,
we messaged each other again and we were like, let's do Monday afternoon. So now it's 5 p.m.
Yeah. We're finally here. We're doing the podcast. We've both written something. So
you're welcome.
Do you see what lengths we go to make this podcast?
The problem with my story was I knew exactly like what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like I knew the story. And so I was thinking about doing, remember that time you did that one where like you just did the dot points?
Yeah.
I was like, I could do that. And then I was like, I don't trust myself to do that. Fuck.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Mine is okay. It's like half dot points, but it's half paragraphs as well. Because I was like, I'm not going to remember this. So then I had to type it out. And then I was like, no, I'll remember this. And then I went back to dot points and.
Yeah.
I think that really illustrates my frame of mind.
I feel like with some of your stories, it's probably easier to be able to do dot points because if you get some things wrong, like it's...
Yeah.
It's... I mean, some things, not all things, but if you get some things wrong, like it's... you know, it's...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you, like, add to the story a bit or, you know, because you'll always remember, like, the really important things.
A lot of it's pretty, like, anecdotal, too. It's, like, people's stories of events. And
so everything's, like, a little bit warped in some way or another.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about, like, ghosts and shit, like.
Yeah. But if I do that, I'm going to miss something important.
Yeah.
And it's, like, all my shit happened. So I'm, like.
You've got, like, timelines to follow and you've got dates and
that's
people.
That's a danger zone.
Oh, boy. I do not envy you at this point.
So that's why I did a little one.
A little one.
Although it is very infuriating. Sorry.
I think one thing we've learned on this podcast is that the length of the story does not indicate level of fury. So
yeah, I think this one's going to have you talking for a while.
I'm excited and nervous at the same time.
I feel like you should be preemptively angry, but okay.
All right, I'll start building that up. Hold
Perfect.
On.
wait, so who's going first this week? I think it's you, isn't
it? It's me.
Also, I'm just looking at the notes from last week and I've just written everyone's a floopy nana and I find that very funny.
Everyone is a floopy nana. I think I'm a floopy nana this week. I don't know why. I just think I am.
I think you're always a bit of a floopy nana.
It's a fair point.
I mean, I wrote everyone's a floopy nana, so I think it's fine.
Yeah. I think you have to be a bit of a floopy nana to like this podcast as well.
Yeah. So, also, our downloads have gotten insane over the last month.
They have.
So we just wanted to say thank you guys because what the fuck?
Thank you so much to everyone who listens to our nonsense.
Yeah, because it is heavy nonsense. there's just so much ridiculousness. But, like, I think in the last, what is it, 6 or 7 days of this month, we have had more downloads than we did in the entire, like, month and a half of us starting this.
Which is just so exciting. Like,
it's insane.
Considering that it literally started with you texting me being like, I want to start a podcast, I need a co-host, are you in? Like,
I think, that was our first Instagram post, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we posted a screenshot of that.
I'm just going to have a look.
Okay.
Okay, so it was our second post.
Aww.
And it was, it was me going, do you like true crime, paranormal, supernatural stuff? Oh my God, yes, massively. Well, I want to start another podcast, Dead Obsessed, and I love how this sounds already. I need a co-host. Are you thinking maybe me? If you're interested, yes. Hell yeah. What would I need to do?
Like, considering that was us, like, little nobodies from Melbourne, and now, you know, we're starting to actually get, like, fans, and we're starting to...
Slightly bigger nobodies from Melbourne.
Exactly! This is already going to my head. I'm really excited about it.
But yes, every time it sort of, it just, like, keeps jumping, and I'm like, ah, what?
People are listening. I'm still blown away that people actually, like it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Why? Anyway, I think, you're going first.
Yep.
It also says, thanks, I hate it on my notes.
Oh, then we were talking about, I don't remember.
I can't write notes this time.
Oh.
I didn't print out my story. I'll type them and then I will print it later.
Okay.
Okay.
You'll just hear a bit of clicking in the background, but that's okay.
Sorry, not sorry.
No, we'll be fine. So for my case, this is actually really exciting because I'm going to be doing a 3-part series.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you just hold on. When I hold the fuck up. When I messaged you and said my story is not that long, you said mine's average length. You fucking liar.
No, this part is average length.
It's a 3-part series. That doesn't make sense.
Well, okay, let me explain. So this is part one in this episode. Part two is going to be the next episode.
Yes, I understand. I understand how series work.
Yeah, because I'm going to be doing investigations into the true stories behind the Conjuring franchise.
You would. I would. Fangirl.
Yeah. So I've done one for this. I've done one movie for this part, and I've picked two more cases because there's a few different things I could have looked into.
Mm-hmm.
But I picked two more because I was like, look, by the time I've done 3 episodes on the Conjuring franchise, we'll probably be ready for something else. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'll do this case, I'll do this case, and I'll do this case. But I'm really excited about it.
So this is happening. All right.
Okay, so the first part of my little mini series I'm doing is for the first movie called The Conjuring.
You know, I haven't seen any of these.
I have to leave. No, I'll stay for now. But
you can't, the door's locked.
That's okay, because I'm going to basically tell you everything about it anyway.
Okay.
Well, okay, the movie's a little bit different, but they do a really good job, but we'll get
I mean,
into
I should probably watch them.
You really should. They're good movies.
I'm busy watching Buffy right now.
Look, Buffy is a priority, but all I'm saying is after Buffy, I think you should watch them.
I think you need to make me a list.
I think I do. I'll just start sending you abusive messages about what you should be watching.
I think if you
make
me a list, we'll put it up on this big soundboard here next to the microphones.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I'll watch them all, but I'll cross them off and it'll be like bingo.
Oh, should there be rewards?
Yes, okay. Please give me rewards.
All right, I'll figure out. I'll give you like a chocolate or something.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Bring me a twirl every time I do one.
Oh, twirls are so good.
They're so good.
Okay. All right, enough about chocolate. Yeah, so the first movie I'm going to be covering is The Conjuring, which is the first one. In the 2013 movie directed by James Wan, who was also the director of the Insidious franchise and the Saw movies.
I've seen Saw.
Saw?
I've seen all of the Saws.
That's an effort. In itself.
Saw, yeah.
The Saw movies.
Yeah, saying I've seen the Saws sound great.
It sounds like I've seen the sauce. Like the
I was thinking
sauce.
Like festering sores.
Ew.
Sorry.
I mean, it's Saw, so like, there's a bit of that. So yeah, he directed those franchises as well. It follows the story of Ed and Lorraine Warren. Ed is a demonologist. Yeah, you've probably heard those names.
Yes.
Yep. Ed is a demonologist and Lorraine is a clairvoyant and they're married. So cute little couple. But they go to visit I'm not quite sure how to say this. I'm going to say Perrin family. It's P-R-R-O-N, but it's like Perrin or Perrone or...
I'd say Perron.
Perron? Okay. I'll try and say Perron.
With an Aussie accent. Fucking A.
Fucking Perrins.
I've got a friend named Perrin, but he's P-E-R-R-I-N.
Yeah, that's more Perrin.
Yeah.
Hi, Perrin. Hi, Perrin.
He doesn't listen to this, I don't think.
Boo, Perrin. So the Warrens go and visit a family in Harrisville, Rhode Island in the year 1971. The family consists of Carolyn, Roger, and their 5 daughters. And throughout the film, we watch an escalation of frightening paranormal events as the family and the Warrens are tormented by a dark presence. The film comes to a conclusion when they perform an exorcism on a malevolent presence known as Bathsheba.
Bless you.
I had to Google how to pronounce that.
Well done.
The film itself is actually really close to the true story, which is probably because Lorraine Warren herself was a consultant on the project.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Her husband would have been there, but unfortunately he had passed away. So she was a big part of it. She visited the set. She detailed everything. And she even says she's like recounting the story to this day. It still affects me. Like it was that intense for her to go through.
Wow.
But because it is based on a true story, there's a few things that are a little bit different and some things didn't make the movie. And a lot of people think the true story is actually much more terrifying. So let's get into it.
Great.
So the first part is that, yes, there really is an Ed and Lorraine Warren. Yes, the Perrin family are real. And yes, the house itself is real and still standing to this day.
Ooh, that's impressive.
Hell yeah. So Ed Warren was a World War II veteran and an ex-police officer turned demonologist, which I think that's an incredible combination of jobs.
Yeah. And this is only, what, 50 years ago?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were working during the 70s and, I mean, Lorraine only passed away in 2019, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, girl.
Hell yeah. Ed Warren, he was born in 1926 and passed away in 2006. So he had a long life.
Holy shit, yeah. 90.
Mm-hmm. Lorraine Warren was a...
Wait.
I don't think that's right.
80. I'm going to shut the fuck up now.
People know that maths isn't our strong suit, though, so it's okay. Lorraine Warren was a clairvoyant and medium, and she lived from 1927 to 2019.
Not doing that math.
Nope, we're just going to keep going. So both of them founded the New England Society for Psychic Research, which is the oldest ghost hunting association in New England, and they gained a lot of notoriety following their investigation of the Amityville hauntings, which, if you don't know, led to Amityville Horror, the book, the movies, all sorts of things. So they
know of it.
Yeah, I know of it too. I've like briefly looked into it, but I haven't seen the movies or anything.
Maybe we should watch the movies together.
There's an idea.
Mm.
Now, the Perrin family, they consist of Roger and Carolyn, who are the parents, and their 5 daughters, Andrea, Nancy, Christine, Cindy, and April.
Cute.
Yeah, they have cute names. I like it. Now onto the property. It was a 200-acre property.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. And the house itself had 14 rooms.
The fizziness of the drink went up my nose.
Oh my god, your eyes are watering.
Sorry.
Ashley's drinking ginger ale, which if you haven't had that, it does that. So
I was not ready.
Nope. My sinuses are violated.
I'm fine.
Okay.
What? 200 acres. I think it was that. And then I took a sip and my body went, no.
Cannot compute. Yeah, so 200 acre property with a 14 room residence. And the family moved into this property in January 1970. Wow. So apparently as they moved in, the previous owner told them nothing about paranormal occurrences, nothing going on.
Of course not.
No strange histories. But
I wouldn't.
No. But he did tell them, leave the lights on at night. And then he yeeted out of there.
That's fucking ominous as shit. What the hell, Gary?
He didn't even say why. He was just like, oh, you know, you might want to leave the lights on at night. Well, I'm off. Good luck with the house. And then
here's the keys. Please don't ever call me.
Yeah, literally.
Don't ever speak to me and my son again.
That's pretty much what's happened. So there was no warning. But funnily enough, the strange happenings started occurring pretty much immediately. But they were kind of small in the beginning. So it would be things like a broom would go missing or the kids' toys would like move between rooms and then all the kids would be like, you moved it. No, you moved it. But none of them moved it. Mm. The younger children would also be playing with kids who weren't there. But
no.
I know, right? But the parents were like, oh, it's like imaginary friends though.
No, imaginary friends aren't real. Ghosts are. Just saying.
Parenting advice, people. There would also be things like objects just kind of migrating throughout the house with no one moving it. So it'd be like, why is the lamp over there? I don't know. I didn't put it there. No. Which is annoying.
No, just like that.
Thumbs down to that. There would also be things like a scraping noise on the kettle when no one was in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Small piles of dirt in an otherwise clean kitchen.
No.
So, like, they sweep the floors and then they come back. There's, like, a pile of dirt in the middle of the floor. Which I wouldn't even be scared. I'd be like, you dick. I just swept it.
Unless it's, like, they've swept the floor to get all the dust and stuff up. And then there's just an actual pile of grave dirt.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You're welcome.
moving on from that. They also would, like, see and feel spirits around the house. Although, at this time, they were kind of more friendly. So, they would, like, gently poke you or like prod you or like pinch you a little bit, which just is
fucking
still
touch me.
Yeah, I'm not big on the touching thing, but it was like not, you know, shoving you into a wall or flying you across the room or
I guess
something.
That is comparatively better.
Yeah. Also, okay, so they recall this as like a nice story, but apparently one of the daughters, she thought that it was her mum like coming in to kiss her on the forehead every night, but it wasn't. It was a spirit, which I was like, that's so cute in a really terrifying way.
It's cute if the ghost had good intentions.
Well, yeah, I'm like, okay, so maybe this was a nice ghost.
If it was like Ted Bundy-esque ghost, that's not good.
Yeah, we don't want that. Or like a pedophile ghost. Like, let's not. So let's just pretend it's like a nice motherly ghost and they're just like, good night, sweetie. And then they evaporate.
Okay.
We're going to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
However, as time went on, the phenomenon became more sinister and the spirits started to seem angrier. Now, there's two theories on this. One was that the ghosts themselves became angrier, but the other was that, you know, the general kind of feel in the house deteriorated and so it attracted more negative
spirits.
Well, they
can't sleep. You're leaving all the lights on at night.
Exactly. The ghosts need sleep too. I would be so cranky if I was a ghost and I couldn't sleep. I can't sleep anyway. But anyways.
And you are a ghost.
I am a ghost.
Ooh.
So apart from angry ghosts, they would also have like a rotting flesh smell that would be, yep.
I'm fine.
Particularly at like the front door and in the basement. There would also be furniture moving and levitating. So things like chairs and beds and.
I don't like this.
Okay. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, no, don't stop. I'm not telling you to stop. I'm just expressing my feelings.
Okay, we welcome feelings on this podcast. There would also be people being thrown into the air. Like, you.
I doubt that was the noise that happened.
Probably not. I'm trying to make Ashley feel better. There would also be...
It's not working.
I'm sorry. There would also be entities arriving at 5:15 every single morning. Specifically, apparently, the bed levitating would happen at 5:15 in the morning.
Somebody doesn't like getting up.
No. Or apparently them, that was just them being like, bitches, you're lazy. Get your ass out of bed.
Paranormal alarm clocks.
Just push. which is an interesting thought. The heating equipment in the house would also sort of suddenly fail. And the problem with this was that all of the equipment was in the basement, which nobody liked going into.
Stay out of the basement.
Yeah. So often the father, Roger, would have to go down into the basement. And he said every single time he went down there, he would feel a cold, stinking presence right behind him.
Stinking presence. Yeah. That's a bit rude.
So like that rotting flesh smell right behind him. And it was like cold and horrible. Yeah. So that. There would also be a disembodied voice telling them that there were 7 bodies in the walls.
Ah.
Rat row.
Why do I not have... So, hold on. Let me just think about this for a second. It's not that I don't have an issue with it when, like, I'm telling a story or I'm hearing a story of a serial killer that's putting the bodies in the walls. But right. Living in a house... where you don't know if there's bodies in the walls and somebody tells you there's bodies in the walls. It's so much worse.
It's like the element of surprise.
It's I don't like it.
No. It's not the kind of... Like, you want to find, like, I don't know. Oh, like, we moved into a house when I was a kid and there was, like, a rubber duck left next to the bathtub and it was, like, a brand new rubber duck, which, like, that's a nice surprise. But, like, finding bodies in the walls is not a nice surprise.
That's a haunted rubber duck.
It wasn't. It was really cute. I drew a face on it.
Oh, that's all right then.
I gave it funky little eyebrows. So this goes to the movie, but in the movie, there's a scene where they play the clapping game. So it's kind of like hide and seek, but the kids would... So one of them would be like it, and then the rest would go hide, and then the kid would walk through and be like clap, and then all of them have to be like... And they would have to go find each other.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the spirits got in on this, and it all got very spooky. But apparently in real life, the game was much more sinister. So instead of like the clapping game, the kids would just play hide and seek. And they would do this particularly in the summer. But one particular game, one of the daughters, Cindy, so she decided that she was going to go hide in the barn that was on the property. And in the barn, there was like this wooden crate box. Ashley's already shaking her head.
No, stay out of the basement, stay out of the barn.
Yeah, just lie on the floor in the living room and try not to move.
Yes.
Yeah. But in the barn, there was like a wooden crate kind of thing, but it had no locks on it, nothing on top of it. It was literally just like a wooden little lid. And so she's like, I'm going to be extra tricky and I'm going to get in the box. So she does, and she's hiding away and she's like, hee hee, no one's going to find me. But then she's like, oh, no one's going to find me. So then she tries to get out of the box and she can't lift the lid. And it's like something has locked her in. And so she's like screaming and she's pounding on the box. She's trying to get out. It's not happening. She's in there for like 20 minutes and no one has come to find her until finally, after all that time, her sister Nancy had come in and actually found her. And by that time, she was crying and in a pool of her own sweat. She's freaked out. She's scared. And Nancy just lifts up the lid. No problem. Like there was nothing on top of it. Nothing to see. She just literally could not get out of it.
Mm.
Which is not good. So that's kind of a summary of everything that was experienced. But seeing all of this paranormal activity, the mother, Carolyn, she decided to look into the history of the house and see what she could find. And what she discovered was that the house had been in the same family for 8 generations.
Whoa.
Which is a really long time. And in that time, a number of the members of the Arnold family, which was the name of the family line, had died in some very scary ways.
Oh.
So there were 2 suicides by hanging, allegedly in the attic.
Stay out of the attic, stay out of the basement, yep. Stay out of the barn, stay out of the attic.
Living room floor, perfectly still.
Do not fucking move.
They say that it happened in the attic. In the movie, you see bodies hanging from the tree, but there's no mention of a tree, so a bit of a difference there. There was also a suicide by poison, which you don't hear about that a lot. That's interesting.
Was it a woman?
I don't know.
It's usually a woman.
Yeah. There was also a rape and murder of an 11-year-old girl by a farmhand.
Ugh.
But this is disputed a little bit. There was apparently on her death certificate, it had a different address. So did it happen on the property or not? They don't actually know. And they said her cause of death was having her throat slit by, and there was a set of initials that didn't match the farmhand.
Right.
There's a little bit of dispute there about, like, and also it was like, oh, well, was the death certificate credible? Like, where did they find that? They couldn't find where the source was. So it's just like, it's attributed to the house, but it's sort of not confirmed. There was also at least 2 drownings believed to be children. So one website was like a bunch of children drowned in a nearby lake. Another website was like, there's just two people drowned. So,
right.
Not quite sure about that. Four men froze to death, which I was like,
okay.
How did that happen? But okay. And there was also another murder that was committed by a family member. But we'll get into that a little bit more in a second.
Okay.
So the scary part of this research was that it revealed the identity of an Arnold family member named Bathsheba. Where have we heard that name before?
Also, who names somebody that?
I know. Do you know what's really weird?
Sounds like a demon name. It's going to be a ghostie.
It does. But the weird thing is, every time I type this name, my Microsoft Word didn't underline it. It was like, yeah, that's a word.
Like, whoever wrote the script for these movies wrote it in Word.
They did. But yeah, and it even like capitalized it and everything.
It's probably a name in a foreign language, actually. That's why it doesn't pick it up.
I think I'm just ignorant. But yeah, so Bathsheba Thayer Sherman.
Bless you.
Thank you. Lived on the property in the mid-1800s along with her husband, Judson, where she had been... So she had between... Are you laughing?
I'm sorry, why does the name Judson make me laugh?
I don't know, but it made me laugh too. But she had between 1 to 4 children. And I'm going to explain why I said between 1 to 4 children. So she had one child that was really well documented. So like there's birth records, there's marriage records. Like we know what he did throughout his life. He worked as a farmer like his dad. Lots of information on him. Then there were 3 other children that were rumored to not make it past 4, that apparently she killed them. But when it comes to finding any documentation about them, there's one really dodgy census record of them. But it's like, again, where did that come from? And then there's nothing. So
right.
There's no death records, anything. So it's like, is this folklore? Did it actually happen? We don't know.
Right.
So she had between 1 to 4 children. Throughout the community, she was suspected to be either a witch or a Satanist or both, because apparently they're interchangeable.
That's metal as hell.
Yeah. And this was because a neighbor's baby died in her care. So what was really messed up about this was that the cause of death was found to be a mortal wound to the back of the baby's skull, where it looked like a large sewing needle had been impaled. Yeah. This is why people were like, did you sacrifice that baby? Yeah, it's not good. Because there's no way that that could happen accidentally.
No.
I even thought about it. I'm like, what if you like left a needle hanging around, it's bolt upright, and the baby... I'm like, no, it's not going to happen.
No.
So pretty much that happened.
I feel like there are less really gross ways to do that.
Anyway. Absolutely. But yeah, so that's why people were like, what the fuck? This bitch crazy. Mm. Now, there was actually a trial. So Bathsheba went on trial for this murder, but basically she was acquitted essentially due to lack of evidence. They were like, we can't actually prove this. We can't.
When was this? 1800s?
Yeah.
Right.
So it was like their version of a trial and their version of not enough evidence.
It's a, she's a witch. Maybe she's not a witch. Let her go. We'll see.
Yeah. It's essentially what happened.
Okay.
But of course, the court of public opinion were not convinced that she didn't do it. So she was basically labeled a witch and she was crazy and she was Satanist and everything. Now apparently Bathsheba, died an old woman of natural causes. That's what the official story is. But if you ask folklore, apparently she died, from some sort of bizarre paralyzing illness and that her body literally turned to stone. This was due to the fact that she apparently made a deal with the devil for youthful beauty throughout her life.
Did she get that?
Apparently she still died an old lady. So I don't know if it was like for 10 years or something. You know how the devil likes to be tricky.
Mm.
So that's just what folklore says. But most people are like, no, she died an old woman and watched her son get married. And that was kind of her life.
Right.
So I found in an article, they were like, are there any pictures of her? And there's like one picture of a neighbor's farm where she might be in it, but no one can be like, yeah, that's for sure her. But I mean, it's the 1800s, so they're not like taking selfies every day. So,
yeah,
you know.
Like you.
Yes. So how does Bathsheba tie into the Perrin family hauntings? Well, in one particular incident, Carolyn was on the couch and all of a sudden she had a piercing pain in her leg. She had a giant muscle spasm, her leg really, really hurt. And when she looked down at it, there was a pool of blood. So she started obviously checking her leg. She's like, what the hell has happened? And she's looking for like a bee sting or some sort of bite. But there was...
Yes, a bee sting is what creates a giant pool of blood.
That was my issue I had with it. I'm like, what kind of a fucking bee did you have then? But anyways.
Global warming's made them a lot smaller.
Yeah. They're just shrinking with the heat.
Heat shrink bubbles. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a bit of a novel concept. But anyway, so she's looking at her leg. She can't see anything. But what she does notice is a perfectly circle mark about the size of a large sewing needle.
No.
So when she told this story to Ed and Lorraine Warren when they were visiting, they were the ones who made the link. And they were like, well, we've heard this story of a previous resident. She was apparently a witch and a Satanist. We think that she's the one doing all of the hauntings. And we think that she's taken her sewing needles or knitting needles. There's a bit of a dispute about what it was. Into the afterlife with her.
Okay.
Maybe she'll get bored. Maybe she just needs something to do, you know? But yeah, so they were the ones that made the link. Now, it is believed that Bathsheba was the evilest spirit that was haunting the parent family. Carolyn seemed to be the main target of all of these attacks. And she claims that every single night she was visited by a woman in grey whose head was hanging to her side and would threaten that if she didn't leave the house with her family, that she and the family would be driven out by doom and gloom. Which I'm like,
doom and gloom.
Try your worst.
Why does that feel like such a non-threatening threat? Doom and gloom.
It's basically like threatening someone with mild depression. It's just
like... Joke's on you, bitch. We already there.
Yeah. So in a quote, one of the daughters, Andrea, states, whoever the spirit was, she perceived herself to be the mistress of the house, and she resented the competition my mother posed for that position. Which is why people were like, I think it's Bathsheba, because she was like the matriarch and she was this old witch and she was like, you're in my house. Anyways.
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of another little link there. But it's also claimed that as the haunting progressed, that Bathsheba actually started to possess Carolyn and that she had an ulterior motive. So to Carolyn, Bathsheba would torment her both mentally and physically, and would leave her like completely drained and exhausted and just feeling terrible. But to Roger, who was Carolyn's husband, she would be like flirty and she would be like speaking with lots of innuendo and she'd be caressing him and things like that.
She's a horny ghost.
She's a horny ghost.
Okay.
And it was thought that Bathsheba was jealous of how beautiful Carolyn was, how great her husband was, and that she wanted these things. And that even in the afterlife, she was like, bitch, I'm going to get it. So that was the thought.
I see it. I like it. I want it. I got it.
Yeah. Bathsheba's theme song. So the next part of the story is where it differs a little bit from the Conjuring movie. In the movie, an exorcism was performed and they were trying to get rid of Bathsheba, and it's like this big dramatic scene, and it's a great scene, don't get me wrong, but in real life, Ed and Lorraine refused to perform exorcisms because they were like, they're hella dangerous and they need to be performed by a Catholic priest who knows what they're doing.
Right.
Which I was like, good on you guys, but also exorcism's bad.
How about we just say no in general?
Yeah, let's just not do that. So instead, what Lorraine did in real life was that she held a seance, which not always a great option either.
Not better.
I'd probably say less people die, but still not great.
I mean, you want to think so.
You'd really hope so. So Lorraine holds a seance, and during this seance, Carolyn ends up speaking in tongues. She levitates in her chair and is eventually thrown across the room.
Mm.
So, you know, typical seance antics. But again, this is different from the movie. So in the movie, they kind of get rid of the demon and it's like happy days. But in real life, basically they did the seance, didn't really help anything. And then the husband, Roger, he cracks the shits and he kicks the Warrens out of his house. He's like, you're damaging the mental and physical health of my wife. You're making the hauntings worse. I want you out.
Fair enough.
And that was it for them. Like, they didn't come back. That was it. What's really interesting, though, is that all of this stuff, like the Warrens coming to visit, apparently they visited a few times, and all the stuff that happened. I couldn't find specific dates, which was a little bit frustrating, but all of this happened in the early 1970s. So they move into the house in 1970, and then all of this is kind of those early few years. The family didn't actually move out of the house until 1980.
What?
They were there for 10 years because they literally could not afford to sell the house and move somewhere else.
Wow.
Like, they just had no money. So they were there for 10 years until they could finally afford to move.
That is a long time to be stuck in that bullshit.
Yeah, which I'm sort of like, you kicked out the Warrens and then you just lived in it for a while. I'm not sure how great that plan was, but...
They probably kicked them out and went, yeah, we're going to leave. And then they actually looked at how much it would cost and went, all right, we're going to stay.
Just try and make friends with the ghosts, okay?
Yeah, try not to piss them off.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. We're stuck here. So subsequent owners of the house since then have all claimed that there's been paranormal experiences. They kind of range in severity though. Like some of them dealt with more like pushing and shoving and things like that. Some of them it's more like, oh, a door will slam or like there'll be a weird smell and I'm like, what the hell is that?
Right.
Except for the most recent owner who claims nothing ever happened, nothing ever happened, nothing has ever happened and the house is not haunted. Which right. I'm like, okay.
They're just dumb, deaf, and blind.
Yeah. She's cool. Like, the family lied, the house is fine, all these people are lying.
She just wants to sell it and get out of there.
Well, it's actually interesting because she sued the makers of the movie. Because ever since that came out, people keep trespassing on her property. And she's like, I just want to live privately. So she tried to sue them, but I don't think it went very well.
Oh, right. Does the property have a name?
It has a few different names.
Is it called The Conjuring? Sorry.
Yes, the Conjuring. If you just Google the real Conjuring house, it'll come up. Also, since then, the property has been like subdivided. Bits of land have been sold off. So apparently the current property is about 8-point-something acres down from the original 200. So it's been kind of chopped away at. But the house is still there. The barn is still there. You know, it's still there, which is kind of cool. Now, obviously, it wouldn't be one of my cases if I didn't talk about the skeptics, because obviously there's a lot. In a quote from an article on filmdaily.co that I found, it talked about how a neurologist named Stephen Novella, who is president of the New England Skeptical Society, which I was like,
okay buddy.
He investigated the Warrens in the past and isn't convinced, basically. He says, the Warrens are good at telling ghost stories. You could do a lot of movies based on the stories they have spun, but there's absolutely no reason to believe there is any legitimacy to them. And this is kind of a recurring theme. Like recently, I read an article talking about how the Amityville investigation was bullshit. They were like, nothing ever happened. A lot of people think the Annabelle doll never happened. They're basically just lying. But the thing that I don't get is there's a lot of witnesses. So it's kind of like, okay. But what I find really interesting about this story is that every single family member agrees. Like, they all have the same story. They all admit that it happened. And then they all kind of have their own degrees about how much they want to talk about it. So, like, one of the sisters, she doesn't want to talk about it. She doesn't do any press. She's like, look, it happened. But I'm like, no, fuck that. Another sister, she wrote a book about her experiences. And she did, like, press with the movie when it came out. And she was like, yes, this all really happened. The mother, Carolyn, she was invited to the set of the movie. A lot of them went to the set to make sure it was legit and things like that. One of, the mother, Carolyn, she refused to go because she was like, I don't want to relive that.
Fair.
But all of them are sort of like, they're not disputing each other and they're also not like so rehearsed or so practiced or anything. They all sort of have their opinions on what happened, but it's all the same story.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, Ed and Lorraine Warren, they have a whole lot of cases that they did. Their whole Conjuring franchise is basically centered around different cases that they investigated, which is why I wanted to do a few of them. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've got on it. For people who have seen The Conjuring, like, you'll hear all that and you'll be like, wow, they actually kept pretty close to the original story in the movie. A lot of the stuff I talked about happens in the movie. Like, there's beds levitating, there's people in the basement, like...
Stay out of the basement.
Don't go in the basement, attics, barns. Avoid them at all costs.
BBA. Avoid basements, barns, and attics.
Yeah. We've just saved your life. You're welcome. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up part one of my new 3-part series.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. It's my first one, and I'm just like,
that's great. And yep. I'm terrified, so thank you.
You're so welcome.
Oh, well. Okay, there'll probably be a shift in tone because we just had to pause so I can go and refill my spicy juice that goes up my nose.
Yeah. Spicy juice is ginger ale, by the way.
Did we say that before?
I think we did, but in case we didn't, just to remind you what you're actually drinking.
Yeah, just so everybody knows.
Yeah. I don't know if people paid attention to that.
They probably already forgot. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. If they have attention spans like we do, they definitely did.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
So... My document's not opening. It's fine. Got it. Here it is. So okay. My story this week is stop checking for upgrades.
I haven't heard of that one.
No. Shit. I fucked it. So it is the story of Dorothy Jane Scott.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Dorothy Scott, 32 years old, living in Stanton, California. She lives with her aunt and her 4-year-old son, Sean.
Okay.
Dorothy works as a secretary for 2 joint-owned stores in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
The shops she works at are more on the alternative side. One is like lava lamps and those bead things people have instead of doors.
Yep, cool.
and the other is, apparently in the US they call them a head shop. Here, I'm pretty sure we call it a cloud store, which sells everything for like weed smoking.
Right, okay.
You know?
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
Paraphernalia
shop, yeah. So they were a bit of an off track from Dorothy herself, who's described by her co-workers and her friends that she's a devout Christian, she isn't into drugs, and she doesn't even drink.
Hmm.
She doesn't have a long-term boyfriend. She doesn't really date either.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the months before May 1980, Dorothy begins to receive strange phone calls while she is at work. The man on the other end of the phone has a familiar voice, but not one she can really pinpoint.
Okay.
Rather than it being somebody like she kind of knows or anything, she thinks maybe it's more so somebody that she's maybe met once or twice and had like very few exchanges with.
Right. So it's like one of those people where you're like, I know that voice, but from where?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. Doesn't sound totally alien to her anyway.
Yeah. Just can't pick it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this anonymous caller is stalking Dorothy.
Creepy.
Yeah. The calls alternate between professing his love for her,
mm-hmm.
telling her about how he's been watching her, knowing her schedule, what she's done that day, what she's wearing and who she's with, to horrifically describing the ways he's going to kill her.
A little wire just clicked in my brain and I'm wondering if this is the case I'm now thinking about.
I think it might be.
Okay.
So.
That's incredibly creepy, by the way.
Yeah, so he once claimed he was going to cut her up into bits so no one will ever find her.
It's normal.
One day, Dorothy's stalker called her and told her she needed to come outside. He had something for her. Dorothy went outside and found a single dead rose on the windshield of her car.
Why would you go out there?
I'm assuming she waited a bit of time first.
I mean, you'd hope so. If your stalker rings you and be like, hey, come out the front, I've got something for you. And you'd be like, okay. Like, bitch, what?
I don't know, man. Mid-May, Dorothy begins taking self-defense karate lessons, which I find adorable.
That's very, very cute. Actually, you know what? That stuff is good. I did like a beginner karate course. It was awesome.
I tried karate when I was like 9 once. I did one lesson and the instructor yelled at me too much, so I never went back.
Oh, I had a nice instructor. He was like all empowering. He's like, you're women, but you can do it.
I don't think mine was self-defense class. It was just more of like actual just karate lessons.
All right, okay.
He was very aggressive and I did not like it.
Okay.
9 p.m. on Wednesday, May 28th, Dorothy is in attendance at a work meeting.
Mm-hmm.
During the meeting, she sees her co-worker Conrad is really not looking so hot.
Oh.
Hold on, I'm going to do the sentence again because I think I said Conrad.
Yeah, you did. I kept my composure. How proud are you?
Next time, call me out because okay. I would rather redo it than notice it when I'm editing.
But I like leaving it.
During the meeting, she sees her co-worker. See, now yep. It's going to fuck me up. Her co-worker, Conrad, is really not looking so hot.
Okay.
I'm going to leave that whole thing in there.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. He has this inflamed red-looking mark on his arm and he is looking ill.
Ooh.
Speaking to Conrad, Dorothy and another co-worker, Pam, think he may have been bitten by a spider.
Oh, I was thinking like malaria, but like, okay.
That's a jump. Okay. The three leave the meeting and decide to drive Conrad to the emergency room. On their way to the hospital, seeing as it was so late, Dorothy had to make a quick stop to check on her son and let her parents know that she would be at the hospital and back really late.
Mm-hmm.
Making it to the hospital, doctors determined Conrad had been bitten by a black widow spider.
Oh, shit.
While being treated, Dorothy and Pam stay in the waiting room side by side the whole time.
Oh, good pals.
Sure. Conrad was discharged by about 11 p.m. Dorothy, being the one to drive them, said that she would bring around the car so he didn't have to walk that far because he's still recovering.
Mm-hmm.
She went to the bathroom and out the door while Pam and Conrad got his prescription. The two exited the building and waited for Dorothy. They waited a few minutes, but with Dorothy a no-show, they moved back to the ER entrance where they originally came in. Just as they arrive, they see Dorothy's car speeding towards them with the headlights beaming. The two try and flag down the driver's attention, but suddenly the vehicle takes a sharp right turn out of the parking lot and disappears.
It's a bit weird.
Pam and Conrad explain away the weird behavior, thinking maybe her son had his own emergency and she needed to go and get him right away. They think Dorothy will come back for them, so they simply wait. They waited for a few hours.
Oh, I don't like this. I do know this case, and I'm now very afraid.
In the early hours of the morning between 2 and 3 a.m. on the 29th of May, 1980, Dorothy Scott is reported missing. An hour or so after this, at 4:30 a.m., Dorothy's car is found about 16 kilometers, or 10 miles, from the hospital she was last seen at. Her 73 Toyota station wagon is found in an alley engulfed in flames.
Oh, that's not good.
About a week after Dorothy's abduction, her parents receive a phone call.
Oh.
"I've got her," is all the voice said before hanging up.
There's just something about these phone calls that I just don't like.
I wonder what it is. You're really good at stating the obvious sometimes.
Thank you.
It's almost like it's a talent.
Yeah.
Or it's top skill.
Stating the
thank you.
Obvious.
Thank you, Captain Obvious. Instead of a dunce cap, I'm going to get you a sign that says that.
Can I have a cape that says Captain Obvious?
Because yes.
I would wear that.
Yes.
Thank you. You're writing that down.
I'm putting it in my notes. Okay.
It's in the notes.
It's in the notes now. So Dorothy's parents receive a phone call from the same man almost every Wednesday afternoon. The calls happen almost exclusively when Vera, Dorothy's mother, is home alone. The voice would tell Vera that he either had Dorothy, would ask if she was home, or would taunt Vera saying that he had killed her.
What a dick.
Right? Thank you, Captain Obvious. June 12th, 1980, a local newspaper received a phone call after running a story on Dorothy. The phone call said, "I killed her. I killed Dorothy Scott. She was my love. I caught her cheating with another man. She denied having someone else. I killed her."
Launch investigation.
I'm pretty sure there's already an investigation going, but yeah. The police also find that the caller knew details of Dorothy that had not been published at all. The fact that Conrad had been bitten by a black widow spider, and that after the meeting, Dorothy, when she went home, had changed her scarf from black to red on the way to the hospital.
That's very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In April 1984, nearly 4 years have passed, and Vera is still receiving the torturing calls each week.
Dude needs to find a hobby that isn't tormenting people's parents.
Right. There were multiple setups to try and catch the caller, but he would never stay on the phone long enough or say enough to give the police a lead. One night, the phone rings. This is unusual because the caller usually calls in the afternoon, but this day it was significantly later.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of Vera answering the phone, this time Dorothy's father, Jacob, does.
Ooh.
The man on the other end, perhaps startled by Jacob answering the phone, says he dialed the wrong number and hangs up. The calls to the Scott's home stop altogether.
This is very telling to me because, I don't know, maybe I could be wrong, but that just screams to me that personality type where it's like, I will fuck with women and I will fuck with children, but other men,
Well, Jacob does actually go on to say that, he says he dialed the wrong number. So it could also be the fact that maybe he thought that they'd finally changed their phone number.
Okay.
Or moved.
Right.
But, I mean, if somebody is so intent on knowing when Vera's usually home alone to call, and, all of the other stalky details, I'm pretty sure he knows that they're still there.
Yeah.
So, you might be right. August 6, 1984, a construction worker discovered some bones about 30 feet from the Santa Ana... Sorry, I think it's Santa Ana. Santa Ana. I'm trying to say it like an American. I don't know.
Okay.
I'd say Santa Ana Canyon Road, just outside, Anaheim Hills. The bones were from a human, but also a dog.
Interesting.
So there was two sets. Mm-hmm. The dog bones were on top.
Okay.
The human bones were underneath.
Maybe they buried a dog thinking, oh, they'll bury and be like, oh, no, it's just a dog, and they won't keep digging.
Well, I mean, maybe if you bury a dog on top of a human corpse, it throws off human decomposition scent.
Possibly.
Or maybe some people think it might have been like a satanic thing, but I guess 1980s satanic panic probably wasn't.
Yeah. They thought a lot of things were satanic and they weren't.
Yeah. So the bones showed sign of dismemberment and charring. Mm. The charring detectives discovered was because of a bushfire that had come through in 1982.
Okay.
So that meant that Dorothy had been there for at least 2 years.
But she'd been missing for four?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Along with the bones, a turquoise ring and a watch, both belonging to Dorothy, were found. The watch, it appears, had stopped at 12:30 a.m. on May 29th, about an hour after her kidnapping.
Okay.
Which gets me, because like people say that that must have been when she was killed.
Mm.
But I've had watches that stop for no good reason.
Yeah, it could have been a coincidence, or maybe like there was an impact to the watch, but that doesn't mean she died.
Yeah.
It could just mean the watch got fucked up.
Yeah, but also it was with her body, so like it does make sense, but also it's not definite.
Yeah, like even if she'd like fallen at some point and she slammed her wrist or something.
In a struggle getting in the car or something even.
Yeah, or throwing her out of the car, or you don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think that's solid.
Yeah. Mm. When newspapers run stories about finding her remains, the calls to the family start up again, and they start asking again and again, is Dorothy home?
Hmm.
Unfortunately, police find nothing.
See, I'd be worried about copycat callers at this point.
Yeah, true. That could be a thing, because it was published that he was calling and calling again. Mm. There's no official suspects, and I can't even find anywhere where or when the calls stopped or if they ever did.
Really?
Yes. I have no note to say the calls have finally stopped anywhere.
Didn't you say that they stopped after that wrong number one?
And then 3.5 months later, they found her body, her remains, and they started again.
This case is so confusing.
Yeah. And I think Vera did say that it sounded like the exact same person.
Okay.
So, Dorothy's father died on April 23rd, 1994, which is actually Dorothy's birthday.
Oh, that's sad.
And her mother passed in 2002. And that's it.
Yeah, that's incredibly infuriating.
Yeah, so that's it. I think there was one lead that wasn't like super published was a brother of one of the co-workers was found to have a bit of an unhealthy obsession with her.
Right.
But they couldn't find anything to link him to it.
Okay.
Any real motive or opportunity.
It's just a bit of a circumstance.
Yeah. Mm. They cleared the father of her son.
Mm-hmm.
He was away. He had no means to do that. Also, I really don't think he would need to go to those lengths to stalk her if he could just go and visit his son.
Yeah. He'd just rock up and be like, I'm here to get my son.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that doesn't fit for me. I mean, did they look into... I know that they said that she didn't date very much, but did they look into all that? I mean, he gave some pretty specific details.
Yeah, I mean, they looked into anybody that she sort of... I think she went on a couple of dates over, like, 4 or 5 years. Because right. It was all about her son.
Yeah, oh, that's understandable. You know? But, I mean, the fact that he's even sitting there being like, oh, I was with her and she cheated on me, it's like, well...
I think he thought they were together, and when the stalker saw her helping Conrad to the hospital, like, he would have been likely in the front seat and Pam would have been likely in the back seat. Maybe he didn't see Pam.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, like, I agree with you. I think it very much sounds like someone that's perceived a relationship rather than actually being an ex. Because if you're an ex, you'd be like, no, I just fucking hate her. But if it's someone who's, like, created this relationship in their head and they're like,
and no. being super anonymous about it. If there was somebody that she'd already had some sort of connection with, I feel like there would be less need to be anonymous the whole time.
Yeah. Plus they'd be like, oh yeah, like she had this boyfriend of like 6 months. We saw him at events, like his name was so and so.
Yeah.
But yeah, this very much sounds like something, like I've dealt with a lot of creeps, right? And you get those people, like you go on one date and all of a sudden they're calling you babe and being like, oh, I want to introduce you to my family, and you're like, I've known you for 5 minutes. Like, but they've already concocted all of this in their head and they're like, you know, I'm in love with you now and you're mine. And so if I even like talk to somebody else, they're like, oh my God, you're cheating on me. And it's like, we're not in a relationship.
Yeah.
This very much sounds like that to me, which is frightening. And I mean, what year was this again?
1980.
Yeah. So like in the 80s, like you don't have dating apps where like you have contact histories and.
Yeah. And she said that it was, it sounded like somebody that she had only heard once or twice. So maybe somebody she'd met very briefly through work.
Yeah.
Like she was a secretary, so not likely a customer, but.
Well, I was just thinking, what if it was like a client or someone that where she's like, hello, Bernie, like, how are you today? And he's like created this all in his head and he's like, oh my God, the receptionist loves me.
Yeah, very yeah. likely could be that. But that's the story of Dorothy Scott. So, I mean, that's, yeah.
Short and infuriating.
Yeah, I told you.
Yay.
You're welcome.
You're right. I am going to think about this a lot. Okay.
I'd like to know if they were doing any other, like, testing or anything on stuff, but I don't really know what else they can test for. You know.
Yeah, I mean.
35, 40 years later.
Yeah, and I mean, the car was burnt, wasn't it?
The car was burnt, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like you could do inside of the car or door handles or stuff.
No.
Probably it'll be damaged.
Yeah. I'd like to know more about this dog.
Yeah, what's going on with the dog?
Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. There is another case where a woman's car is found, like she went missing. Kidnapped, her car was found alight, like on fire, that they sort of had, that they sort of try and link it to, but the other woman wasn't stalked.
Yeah, this seems pretty personal.
Yeah.
Plus, like, leaving a dead rose on her car and, like.
That's so creepy.
That's so creepy. It's not even a nice rose. It's not like, here you go, darling.
Unless you're 15-year-old me, then that's, like, super gothic and romantic.
Aww.
Yeah, I was troubled. I don't know why I said was.
Just like an emo little kid.
Fuck yeah.
Being like, I don't like red roses, I like dead roses.
So. So the episode title is Stay Out of the Basement and I Don't Like Red Roses, I Like Dead Roses.
Perfect.
Or should it be Paranormal Alarm Clocks and I Don't Like Red Roses, I Like Dead Roses? Stay out of the basement, Spinner.
Yeah. No, stay out of the BBAs because it's not just the basements. Yeah.
Stay out of the BBA.
Yep.
It's great. Well done.
Thank you.
You know, I had a hoodie that was black with like green dripping writing that said, I'm mean because you're stupid. And I still think that's relevant.
I think that's an excellent point. Like, I always say, like, I'm not a hateful person, so it's not my fault if I hate you. You've clearly made me do it. So.
That's pretty good.
I think so. Because, like, you certainly meet those people who are just, like, unnecessarily hateful. And you're just like, why are you like that? But it's like, I'm a nice person. So if I hate you, there's a reason for it.
Yeah. You did know. Something.
Exactly. It's probably justified.
But, yeah, so that's that story. It's a bit annoying because it is quite short. But unfortunately, I couldn't find a lot about it.
I mean, I can understand why. There's not a lot to go on.
It's just so bizarre.
How much security footage would they have had?
None. They can't get proper security footage now.
Yeah. Oh, the number of freaking cases you hear and it's like, oh yeah, there's a camera, but it doesn't work. I'm like, why? If I was like a prime minister, I would have a special thing that just went around and fixed security cameras.
Yeah.
And just be like.
And then you'd have to fight all the protesters that worry about being tracked.
Oh, I don't care. Just don't.
Fair enough.
I'd be like, think about the crimes it will save. When you get murdered, your ghost will thank me.
So that's something that they actually talk about in one of my criminology classes.
Mm-hmm.
Is like how much, I guess, privacy are you willing to give up in order to eradicate crime? And I'm like, fucking microchip me.
Yep.
Bring it on. I don't care. Know where I am. 24/7.
Yeah, I got nothing to hide.
Go for it.
Yep.
You know?
You'll see my very questionable life decisions, but I'm not doing anything illegal.
Yeah. You'll worry about me, like, just in general, but it's fine.
Exactly. You're not going to see anything that's arrestable, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, okay. So I have a thing with not implanting stuff. Like, I don't really want to chip in my skin, but like, I carry it around. I love
the idea of being microchipped.
Why?
I don't know. I want to be able to open doors with my wrist and shit.
Oh, okay. If it gives you powers, I'm down for that.
It doesn't but, like, give you powers.
No, but I mean, like,
it's like a swipe card to get into a building, but it's in your wrist.
Yeah, but like perceived powers. So if I can walk around and be like, whoosh, and then open doors, like, hell yeah, I would do that.
Yeah.
But if it's just like, oh, we just want to put a chip in you and it's like, all it's going to do is track you, I'd be like, no, give me more benefits.
I want, yeah, give me more out of it. I would, yeah, I'm totally fine with like a microchip that is like your bank card and lets you into your house and stuff like that. And it's implanted in your wrist.
It would be pretty cool if you like go to the supermarket and they're like, how would you like to pay? And you're like, I'll pay with fist. Thank you very much. And you just hold it out over the scanner.
It's my skin payment.
Yeah. Just like beep, beep. And then you're like, yeah. Wizard.
It's like tapping your phone, but you don't need it.
Exactly, because it's in your hand, or it's like, what would be a weird body part to put it in?
Back of your neck.
Oh, you're gonna turn around, like, hold on.
Bottom of your foot. Get oh, it no. up on the counter.
No, that would be good because everyone would be way more flexible because we're all used to doing this all day, like flopping your foot on the counter.
Yeah, true. Eventually, that we would evolve that way, but to start yeah. out with, it'd be very funny.
Oh, everyone would be like, oh shit, here we go.
I like back of your neck or like back of your head, but you have to scan it. No one can help you.
Yep. Like, sorry, man.
Like, they can't lift it up and just scan the back. You have to turn around.
Yeah, they're like, no, sorry, I can't go anywhere near you. Like, you've got to come to the scanner.
Belly button. I'm good at this.
That's so funny.
You have to belly flop on all of the yep. payment devices. Trying to open a door, you've got to do like a chest bump, but like a belly flop on it.
That'd hurt your boobs though.
Yeah,
not
eventually.
So much about that one. What else would be funny? Oh, I think anything would be funny. Can we start working on this, please?
Left earlobe.
Is anywhere weirdly specific? Like, I was thinking elbow, but everyone's been doing the elbow bumps instead of like shaking hands now.
Yeah.
So pretty used to that. No, I think my favorite still probably
bottom of your tongue.
You just have to lick it.
Gross, I hate it.
Ew, no, I don't like that. But no, like, I want powers. Like, I want it to do something cool. Or like, what else could it do?
It's like smart homes.
Yeah, if I could be like, hey,
it would suck when you have to change your rental address and stuff. Oh, though, God. I guess you wouldn't get a new chip. It would just be different data. I don't know why I said that.
Maybe you have like an online profile and you go like, just fill in your details.
God, it'd be so easy to just find people though. But then again, it doesn't matter because if you're all being watched, then like nobody's commit. Like, if this is like the ideal world where like, because of these measures, nobody's committing crimes.
Yeah.
So that doesn't matter because it doesn't happen.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, well, now I watch 24/7. No crime. Woohoo.
Yeah, we'd be out of a job.
Yeah, shit, what would we talk about if we didn't?
Well, I mean, all that, it's all historic, so I guess we would still have a job.
Oh yeah, we'd just not have new content after a while. So we'd be like in our 90s and be like, I think we've done everything.
I don't think we'll be doing this now, 90s, I'm sorry to say.
Excuse me?
I don't think I'm going to make it to 90, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel that. Oh God. Well, that took a turn.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Do we have homework? I don't know what we're doing right now.
I don't know what homework was. Oh, my God. I just got a flashback to, like, grade 10 when I'm just sitting there being like, I don't know what the homework was.
I don't think we had homework.
No. Oh, our homework was to catch up on last week's homework.
What was last week's homework?
You had to watch Surviving Death, and I had to watch the one that you recommended me, which I didn't
do. I had to finish Murder at the Cecil. I did not do that. I've still been watching Buffy.
Yeah, but Buffy's great.
But Buffy's nearly over.
Have you watched the musical episode?
Yes, oh. I sung every word.
I'm so proud.
And I was in bed watching it, and Tana was like, Tana was in the office, and I was like, it's the musical episode. And then he's like, okay. Like, he wasn't fast, and I was like, I'm going to sing every word. And he's like, okay. Then he came to bed halfway through, and I was like, you're going to watch with me? I can start it again. And he goes, no. I was
like, please just finish it as possible. I like how he just, like, knew it was just going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was great. I had a great time.
Oh, it's such a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember what the hell I've been watching. Oh, I found a new show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crime show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually relevant this week.
Nice.
So it's kind of like the old Unsolved Mysteries, but it's all FBI cases.
Ooh.
It's called the FBI Files, and it's, like, again, from the 90s, and it's just all these cases where I always like FBI cases because there's always, like, this... like collaboration of resources, and they're always really hard cases. So
they're always on a bigger scale as well.
Yeah. So it's like you watch the whole episode and you're like, how the hell did they find that guy? And they just did some cool work and you're just like, good on you, FBI. So
what's that on?
YouTube.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I for some reason, like, all the old shows are just not on Netflix or anything. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So go on YouTube and just type in the FBI files. And there's heaps and heaps of episodes. So I'm really enjoying that.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's your recommendation?
Definitely. Mildly triggering myself. But it's interesting, so it's fine.
You know what I watched the other day? Men in Black 2.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although I think I prefer Men in Black 1.
Yeah, that's with the lady. Is that that one or is that the second one?
When you say the lady, please be more specific.
I know what I'm talking about.
I know. I'm sure you do.
No, what's the one where she comes out of the spaceship? And
Selena.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, so that's number two.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So two of my favorite scenes from that movie, just this is absolutely off topic, I don't care.
Right.
Most people have finished, turned the podcast off by now.
Yeah.
is the first bit when Jay goes to get Kay out of the post office and then he like shows him that all of the postal workers are aliens and they're like beatboxing to each other.
That was the best.
That.
Yeah.
And then also when Selena is about to infiltrate like the MIB headquarters and he's like, any fruits or vegetables? She's like, yeah, two heads of cabbage, and she points to the dude with the spare head and he's like, I don't know. Yep. That's just my favorite bit.
Oh my god, that's Johnny Knoxville, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good movie.
Yeah. I think I do prefer the first one. I just do not like love stories.
Oh, yeah.
It's and Jay falls for the alien, which is like the light or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's all very romance-y.
See, now that I think about it, I think I do prefer the second one.
Yeah.
Because it's just so funny.
The second one is very funny.
Yeah.
It is very funny. But I don't know. From an entertainment standpoint, I think I like the first one more. But I also haven't watched the first one in a long time.
The first one is kind of a classic too. Like, that's how you meet all the characters. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And then the third one's insane with the moon prism.
Yeah, we'll just time talk about the third one.
I don't think it's terrible. It's just not as good as the other two.
I feel like I watched it once and I just didn't love it.
It was more out there than before. It was also more focused.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
I've been Ash.
I've been Laura. Oh, remember to do the social thing.
The social thing. You guys should know by go outside and talk to people.
No, don't do that.
Gross.
No, just go on Instagram and talk to us and the Facebook group.
Yeah, come say hi on Instagram. Drop us a follow. Mm-hmm. Say hi on Facebook. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or something like that, I know there are a few of you. Please, if you could pop in and just give us a 5-star review, please. Thank you very much. Or a review on anywhere else. I think there's a couple of places you can do it. Mm-hmm. I think maybe Chartable or Podchaser as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just say nice things about us. That would be really nice.
Yes. Show us to a friend.
Yep.
If you have them. Sorry.
People aren't always
we're
like
your
us.
Friends. It's okay.
Yeah, we're all a little pub fam and it's really cute.
Yes.
Also, I don't know if that picked up, but my shoulder just cracked.
Sorry. Was that your shoulder? That I thought you dropped the cards.
No, that was my shoulder.
Wow.
Yeah, I am tense.
All right, guys. Once again, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Dad Obsessed.